And that's a great way to open the KSRO Good Food Hour with the Beatle, Paul McCartney, and yes. Let It Be, huh?
Yeah.
I can't think of a better way to say welcome to the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash, 38 years and counting since beautiful 1987. It's really been a magical ride. And today we want to open the show by talking with Leif Leiser. Now, Leif is part of the team that owns and operates Psychic Pie in Sebastopol, California. And in the wintry, cold, rainy January Saturday, both her and her partner, Nikolai, came in and we feasted on great salads, great pizza, and great desserts,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, this week we got a blast from the San Francisco Chronicle announcing that they are reactivating their 100 best restaurants in the San Francisco Bay Area. The last time they did this was right before COVID in 2019.
Yeah.
And we remember well when Michael Bauer started this top 100 in 1996.
Was that when it was?
Michael started in 85, and we first started having Michael on in the early 90s. And then in 96, we had him on the show to talk about the 100 best restaurants in the Bay Area. So now the list has just come out, and there are six Sonoma County restaurants within the 100. There were two in Healdsburg, one in Geyserville, one in Petaluma, one in Sonoma. Now, those five that I referenced are very expensive to super expensive restaurants. They're destination restaurants. Mm-hmm. But the sixth one, located in Sebastopol, is the one that the whole family can enjoy. It's reasonably priced. You don't have to break the bank. And so we thought that we would have a little conversation this morning with co-owner Leif Leiser, co-owner of Psychic Pie. Isn't that a great name for a restaurant? Psychic Pie?
It is.
Congratulations, Leif. Are you here? Nope.
Oh, I guess. Hi. Are you? I am here, but there is some music.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get rid of that right now. Is that better?
Yes, so much.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I know there's music in the background, and you obviously that I was not aware of that. So, when did you guys learn that you were awarded one of the top 100 slots in the Chronicle's Best of the Bay Area?
When that list actually came out, so they first published the 51 through 100, and we're number 73 on that list. And then this past week, they had a ceremony for unveiling the top 50, which was really amazing. So, you know, we kind of had a little bit of an inkling before because we had sent these really cool, they were doing like a fun project with it as well with photos, and they didn't really let on what it was about, but Nikolai put a couple of pieces together, but we got the announcement when we saw it come out in print.
Did the Chronicle contact you and say we want some photos or something like that?
Yes, they sent out some film cameras and photographers, and that was part of the digital aspect of these different restaurants who were honored on this list.
Did you have an inkling that this was coming?
Only because of that, we really didn't expect it personally. But I am just super honored and grateful to be on that list. Mm-hmm. Nikolai and I and our whole team, among people who are really rock stars in the industry. And it's very nice to the diversity of restaurants and establishments that they included on this list.
So has it made a big difference in business?
Yeah, people who have not heard of us before are coming in or have heard us on the radio, before. Like, these things always help, but there is a trickle effect because everyone doesn't just rush in at once. So yes, it's had a positive impact, and anytime someone gets a little bit more information about us, it always impacts our business positively.
So could you describe what do you think impressed the Chronicle about your restaurant?
Because you're not fancy or expensive or
yes. Exactly. What was different about this I have no idea exactly what our impression is on them. But on the top 100 list, there was a variety of different types of establishments. There was bakeries on there. There were taquerias on there. There's pizza shops. There's fine dining. Really a spread across the board. So I really appreciated that when they were compiling this list that it wasn't just about like the finest dining. It included a really wide range of restaurants where people eat and where they like to eat. And so I think that maybe it possibly could be that they had an appreciation for where we're coming from, that we produce high quality pizza, that we pay attention to our sourcing. And it was really, it's amazing that you could be a pizza shop and be on a list like that.
I was going to say, when you think of all of the pizza that's made, the place, people who do pizza, to hit a list like that is really impressive.
How would you describe your pizza? There's something, though, that set you apart from the Chronicle for them saying, wow, this is a place that people need to know about. What style of pizza do you do? How do you offer it?
So we do sourdough pizza, and it's all paleo style. It's just is to the cut, and that's a Roman style of pizza, which is not a very common style in the U.S., but it is around. And so we sell it in a little bit of a different format by the weight. You can have it hot in the restaurant, hot to go, or take and bake. Half of our menu changes almost weekly. That's inspired by the seasonal ingredients or products from our local producers. We source from most of our ingredients for our pizzas from Sonoma County. It's Roman style, but it's very local and Californian. So maybe that's something that triggered interest in our reviewers.
So tell us, what is Roman style? How does that differ from other styles?
Yeah, these are large format, higher hydration pizzas. And there's a couple of different styles of Roman pizza, and they are baked in large sheet pans. Higher hydration pan pizza.
And you sell it by the slice?
And we sell it by the cut, yeah.
By the cut.
So you get to decide how big or little the slice or slices that you'd like, and we weigh it out, and you can have it in the shop, or you can have it hot to go, or you can have it take and bake.
Okay. Besides all the pizzas, the salads we tasted, you also had some really terrific desserts. What are your dessert lineup at this point?
What we currently have, we always have cookies in the shop, a malted chocolate chunk cookie, a peanut butter miso sesame cookie.
That was it.
We have a soft serve from Double Eight Dairy, which we love. And we have like some seasonal add-ons. Like right now we have lemon curd, but you can also add local olive oil and flaky sea salt, which is a really great way to eat it, to just boost up that creaminess. And then we also just started doing some bagels, which aren't desserts, but also they're all naturally leavened, and it's been a fun little thing that we're starting.
Wow. So tell us where you are. What are your hours?
We are in Sebastopol, off of Highway 116, and our hours were open Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday we're open 4 to 8, and Sunday we're open 11:30, Thursday through Sunday we're open 11:30 to 8.
And you're in the little shopping center, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We are in a little, I guess you would call it maybe a strip mall, but it's got a few different restaurants there. There's a coffee shop.
Go by and say hello. You will find either you there or Nick there or both of you there.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, this is a mom and pop shop at its best. Psychic Pie in Sebastopol, one of the 100 best 100 restaurants in the entire San Francisco Bay Area. The list just dropped this week, and we should be very proud of our local Sonoma County restaurants that made the cut. Thanks so much, Leith, for talking with John and me this morning.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. Best to Nick.
Bye.
Take care. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. And we're kind of set the stage here for pizza and focaccia because we have a terrific author who's sitting in with us this morning who hails from the great city of Santa Rosa, California, which is pretty daggone exciting. Yeah. We will meet here in just a couple minutes.
Which is famous for...
What is famous for?
Santa Rosa.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. And there were plants and birds and rocks and things, the sand and hills and rings. The first thing I met was a flower that was in the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. Cause in the desert, you can't remember your name. Cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. La, la.
So we will take a break at that point and say good morning once again to Chef John Ash. Good morning, Chef John Ash.
Good morning. How are you? Whoops, I have to put my earphones on.
And we should introduce at this point a woman that actually knows quite a lot about Roman-style pizza pie. This is the perfect segue to go from psychic pie to meeting Lacey Osterman, who is the author of Three Doughs, 60 Recipes, a new cookbook that just came out how long ago, Lacey?
It came out on the 4th of March in the U.S.
So just a month and a half or so.
Yeah.
And it was published in England first, is that correct?
That's right. It launched in the U.K. on the 27th of Feb, and then it was just another week, and then it launched over here. But it's selling better in the U.S. It's really performing well over here, so... My publisher is very happy about that.
Yeah, well, I noticed that it does have the English style printing, yeah. Like labor is L-A-B-O-U-R, and flavor,
right.
F-L-A-V-O-U-R.
Exactly.
So I knew, well, this was published for, well, basically UK readers.
Well.
But you have measurements in both, don't you?
Yep. So we knew that it would be published sort of worldwide. It's also in Australia, New Zealand, US, Canada, you know, it's everywhere, and you can get it anywhere. But... It was really important to me to include the metric measurements as well as the volume cup measurements and imperial measurements, just so it's inclusive for everybody. But I do kind of talk about the importance of using metric measurements when you're measuring for dough, just for precision. But if you don't want to do that, there's instructions on how to correctly measure a cup of flour, because it will make a difference in the bread if people measure flour differently. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So you have a very interesting background. Where are you from originally?
I was born in Santa Rosa, California. So right here. I was born at Memorial Hospital. Grew up in Santa Rosa. My parents owned different restaurants in Sonoma County.
Can you name any of them?
Of course I can. They have since sold them, but the first one was, well, this goes way back now, when Healdsburg was less bougie and, you know, more farm town. So in Healdsburg, I think it was 1996, I was 10 years old, they opened Center Street Cafe and Deli on the town green.
I know it well.
On the Healdsburg Plaza.
Yeah.
And they ran that for years, and then...
We loved it. It was an affordable place to dine in Healdsburg.
It was great, yeah, and I worked there. I was sweeping the floors and bussing tables and probably breaking child labor laws, but, you know, stocking the walk-in fridge and doing things that kids can do, terrorizing the staff and, you know...
But we're looking at almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's
remarkable.
Crazy. That makes me feel really old. And eventually, they were kind of poached... by the development, the developers who were developing the Windsor Town Green, mm-hmm. and they opened their own restaurant down there. They were actually able to buy the property, and that was Casey's American Kitchen.
Oh, know that one too.
Yeah, so it was Casey's Downtown Grill turned into Casey's American Kitchen, and
did
I worked there.
I
waitressed there, and then through college, I went to Sonoma State, and I was picking up management shifts there and kind of waitressing, and yeah, so I know a lot of people. Customers in the community. I was at a book event last night, and a lot of old customers showed up to that. It was really wonderful to see them after all these years. And it's crazy how you remember customers' names. I haven't seen one woman in, you know, 12, 15 years. And I was like, Shannon.
That's great.
You know, and you remember their order. And
I was going to ask you.
So actually,
Sheldon,
I don't remember her order.
Sheldon, you always got the Joe special, right?
With
extra crispy home fries.
That's right. Inside. Yeah, you remember their order and not their name.
So did I guess it goes one way or the other. Kids that grow up in the restaurant business with their parents either embrace it or they are repelled by it and don't want anything to do with it.
I think I kind of have a combination of both. I knew that I didn't want to have like a brick and mortar restaurant just because I saw how much work went into that, how all consuming that is for them. And you're always on call. There's always some drama going on with the walk-in fridge.
And
with staff.
The staff and someone not showing up. So I knew... I didn't think that I wanted that. I studied anthropology and psychology at Sonoma State, so very much not in the restaurant sector. Mm-hmm. But I have always loved food, and I love baking, and I love, just being around food, thinking about food.
Did you take any culinary courses in school?
In high school. So I went to Windsor High, and they had a really wonderful culinary arts program.
Great culinary arts program.
And I think it's developed even more since I have since left. But Marie Gannister, she was my culinary. You guys know Marie.
Yeah, Marie.
Everyone knows Marie. She's such a hub in the community. She was like a second mom to me in high school, and I was her TA. I could spend as much time as possible role in that classroom. I would just be organizing the pantry, going to Rayleigh's for her for, you know, she needed an ingredient. I was her little runner. So I spend a lot of time in the culinary arts program there. And, you know, one of the recipes in the book is dedicated to Marie. That's the Thanksgiving stuffing. She taught me how to make that 20 years ago in class.
Do you still make it for your family?
I do every single year. And it's that one thing that people really ask for. You're like, what's your recipe for this? And so it's in the book now. And that's in the sandwich bread chapter.
It's a crouton.
The croutons.
So yeah. What makes it special, you think?
I don't know. I think now I'm making the homemade bread. I wasn't. Uh-huh. I was just buying a loaf of bread before, and you can do that. You make your own croutons. Marie taught me to use Montreal chicken seasoning, which is a McCormick blend. And you cook those croutons in butter and the seasoning, and then you just, it's nothing too crazy. It's a really simple, basic base, and you can customize it with sausage or, you know, dried fruit or whatever you, uh-huh. different herbs, you can customize it, but it's just, I think it's all the butter that makes it so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just, it takes a while, because when those are hard, crunchy croutons, and then you cook them down until it becomes, you know, that, yeah, classic stuffing texture. It's just delicious.
So you met a European gentleman.
I did. Yes, I did.
And then?
Well, I was studying abroad in London, and my mom was like, don't you go falling in love with a British guy and then leaving us. And
what were you studying, just out of curiosity?
Well, I say studying. They used to have a work abroad experience that this visa doesn't exist anymore, but you could be earning college credits while you were working over in the UK. So I was actually, because I was familiar with it, I was working as a waitress there. because it was almost like in the UK, they take something called a gap year. So it's this year between high school and college, where you go and travel and just get some life experience and have fun before you hunker down and start your education.
Become an adult.
And so for me, this felt like a gap year kind of thing, but while I was still getting credit for school. So I was getting work experience credit, but I was basically waitressing and traveling. And I met Chris, my now husband, in 2007.
In the restaurant business?
He was a customer. He was a customer. He wasn't even at my table. I was running food that night, and his friends, somehow he asked what part of Canada I was from. And it's actually quite a by chance story. And at the very end, he asked for the bill and for my phone number. And he seemed normal and nice. Not everyone does, but I was like, you know what? Why not? So
you trust your instinct.
That was 18 years ago.
So you decided to settle outside London?
We did long distance for 3 years, and then I moved back to London, and we only just moved outside of London last year. So we're in East Sussex now, which is an hour outside of London. We're based in a cute little village. I mean,
Is there any other kind?
It's so cute. We have our own bookstore, our own butcher, our own little greengrocer, cafe.
How many pubs do you have?
There's only two pubs.
Two pubs.
But there's also a wine bar. And I very conveniently know the owner of the pub in the wine bar. So
how many bakers?
There's been a lack of, there's only one bakery that supplies all of the villages. And I have to say the focaccia is dire. It's not good. But you know, people tolerate it because it's all they can get. And I'm just like, you can make your own better than that.
So you know, what's interesting is that to choose just these three baked goods, focaccia, sandwich bread, to focus on, I think is pretty...
Yeah.
Is it just the lack of availability of those things?
The reason, so 3 Dough 60 Recipes is based around 3 easy to master bread doughs for pizza dough, sandwich bread, and also for focaccia. And the reason I chose those, I do some work on social media, so I share bread tutorials on there and videos, and these are the things that perform really well that people really seem to want to eat and learn how to make. Who doesn't love pizza? I think it must be one of the most universally loved foods. Focaccia, people are mesmerized by it, and sandwich bread is very just handy for day to day. So I knew that those doughs were really great bases for people because of their popularity and because they're all quite easy to make too, and they're versatile because of their different hydration. So there's different amount of water in each of the doughs, so you can do different things with them. So yes, there's recipes for how to top a focaccia or what to put on your pizza, but then I show you how to change those doughs into something else completely. You can turn the pizza dough into donuts or the sandwich bread into like a cinnamon caramel monkey bread. So I just had a lot of fun kind of thinking up different ways to rework the doughs and change them into different things.
You know what I think is amazing is your rapid ascent that you get.
It's been a journey.
Well, I'm saying this is not something you've been doing for 10 or 15 years. This is recent.
Yeah, very, very recent. So I've always loved baking. I've always loved food, but it wasn't until 2020, right as lockdown in the UK was looming, so early spring 2020, that I learned how to make bread. My neighbor gave me some sourdough starter, and this isn't a sourdough book, so this is very much aimed at beginners, my neighbor gave me some sourdough starter, and I looked at a bread tutorial on Instagram and learned how to make sourdough bread. And I became, like a lot of people did during lockdown, really obsessed with this sourdough and making it and becoming better at making it.
You were one of those people.
I was in the sourdough cohort, yes, the lockdown sourdough folks, and a lot of them are still going. And I loved it and decided I was going to make lots of it and get better at it, and started sharing it with neighbors and friends, and they wanted to buy it from me. So I started a bakery from my home in London during lockdown.
You mentioned this date, March 22nd,
yes.
2020. Not only that, but 3:45. No, you get up at like 3:45 a.m. This was the date you launched your first loaf?
Yeah, so that was the day. I called that my bread-iversary. That was the day I made my first loaf of bread and kind of fell in love with it and then the whole process. And 2 months after that date, I launched my little bakery from my house. It was called Lace Bakes, and now that's my social media handle, is Lace Bakes.
How did people order your products?
So we had a really tight-knit community in Southeast London. We had a WhatsApp group in the neighborhood, so a neighbor suggested that I start selling it and selling my bread, because I was sharing it with them anyway, because we couldn't consume it as quickly as I was making it. So she said, you should start selling this bread. And so I kind of put the feelers out in our neighborhood WhatsApp group, just a neighborhood chat group. There was a huge response, because at that time, the lines for the bakery, or the queues, as they call them, were 25, 30 minutes long to get a grocery store loaf of bread, a loaf of bread that's homemade and good tasting and better for you, less ultra processed, you know. So so there was a huge response, and I launched the bakery the next week, and I would put out the menu on Sunday nights for the bread, and then on Thursday nights all of the treats for the weekend were announced. So cinnamon buns, brownies, cake, frozen cookie dough, and I used to make these huge vats of sourdough pancake batter that people loved, and they would line up at my door with their empty bowls, and they would come. It was the weirdest. People must have wondered, what is going on in that house? Because people are just showing up with bowls and leaving with this big jiggly, dough.
Do you have
batter.
Any photos of this?
I don't.
Oh my God.
I know.
It would have been
I
great.
Have a few photos. I used to use my daughter's, her stroller. I would tilt it back so that it was a flat surface, and stack the bread baskets on top of that for delivery. So I would be that crazy bread lady in the neighborhood. And of course, it's the UK, so it's rainy, so I have a plastic tarp to go over it. And I was that's how I was delivering
this
the bread. I do have pictures of that.
This is one of the craziest stories we've ever heard on the show.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
How long did you do this?
So I did that. Life got back to normal again after a while. We weren't locked in our homes like we were in the beginning. So I ran the bakery for 16 months. And then I have two young children. So my daughter, Sophie, was 18 months old when I launched the bakery. My son, Alex, was, four, I think. So family life got busy again. I was a mom first and foremost. And I think that role kind of took over again, and I just couldn't keep up with it anymore. It was just a one-woman show, and the 3:45 a.m. wake-ups to make the dough and bake the dough, and it just came to be a lot. So we took a little break, and then I started sharing some videos and recipes on social media, and they really took off.
Do you know what's interesting about the book is the simplicity, or the recipes, mm-hmm. Is the simplicity with which you approach these. It's like for each of these three things that you focus on, mm-hmm. there is a make it today and eat it today,
yep.
and then make it for consumption the next day.
There's a same day version and an overnight version for each of the doughs. And I think that's important for people who are wanting to make bread, because oftentimes you feel like you have to fit around the bread's timeline and your lifestyle. So if there's, like, for example, I made this dough the night before and baked it the next day because I knew it would have been a rush to try to do it mm-hmm. all at the same. Could have done it, but I would have had to wake up early. So having that flexibility with the doughs, I think people really like that. And it's something I've learned from my work on social media. People are like, can we have a same day version? Because I started with the overnight version. Yeah. And people said, well, I want to do it in the same day. I don't want to wait 2 days for pizza dough. You know, and I get that. I think it tastes better if you give it more time. Uh-huh. That slower fermentation in the fridge. But go for it. If you want it in the same day, here's how to do it, right? And I really wanted to simplify and make, kind of demystify the bread making process, because I think it can sometimes come across as really technical and intimidating for people. And I don't actually know why, because if you really sit down and look at what goes into making bread, it's not actually that hard. And I think there's something stopping people from even trying it. And for me, yeah, the book, I just wanted people to just have a go.
That's the beauty that you just talked about, John.
Yeah.
Is the simplicity, the focus, and the encouraging nature of the book.
Yeah.
Because I agree, we've had a lot of really high-end professional bakers on this show over the years. And the books are great, but for the average person that wants to stick their toe in the water, scary.
I kind of wanted to venture away from that a little bit. I'm a home baker, and that's how this is. I'm not professionally trained, so I've kind of figured out what works for me, a home baker. And I want...
Well, that's the best person to learn from.
My video tutorials online have been super popular, so I wanted to incorporate those into the book. Uh-huh. So on each of the core dough recipe pages, there is a QR code that you can scan.
I loved it. I looked at all of them.
And it takes you to the video tutorials.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
You just hold your camera over the QR code on the page, and all of a sudden it magically comes up, and there you are, Lacey, doing a hands-on video demonstration of the technique.
I think it helps people to see, okay, well, my dough is a little bit wetter than that, or why is my dough drier, or add a little bit of water, so it just helps people to be more confident in what they're actually doing.
Well, I think you're encouraging in that too. This isn't rocket science,
exactly.
Let's take a quick break. Okay. Lacey Osterman is our guest this morning with Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner. She has written a wonderful book called Three Doughs, 60 Recipes, Easy to Master Doughs, and Delicious Ways to Enjoy Them. Born and raised in Santa Rosa, California. Yeah. Yes, Windsor High School graduate, and currently lives in lovely East Sussex outside London, where she makes bread and cares for her family and writes cookbooks like this one. And you also have an online presence still, correct?
That's right. So my I'm on Instagram and TikTok. My handle is _lacebakes_. So some of my recipes are on there as well.
LACEBAKES, all one word.
That's right.
Back right after this.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
Starting your own business can be challenging, but Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Jim Curry, branch manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses to get started and keep growing. A small business loan from Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground and as you meet the challenges along the way. Here's Phoebe from Lace House Linen.
Our commercial laundry in Petaluma has banked with Exchange since 1915. We appreciate the service, smiles, and support that we get from a local bank. Exchange Bank has been an extraordinary partner over the years with the necessary loans to expand and buy new equipment. We operate every day knowing that our money is secure and growing at Exchange Bank.
If you own or are starting a small business, Exchange Bank is here for you. Visit exchangebank.com for more information. Exchange Bank, investing in Sonoma County since 1890. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans are subject to credit approval.
The Sonoma County Legal Line. Get answers to your legal questions on a wide variety of issues. Real answers from Satare Law, a personal injury law firm powerhouse.
I was involved in a car accident sustaining injuries. I was not at fault. Should I hire a personal injury attorney?
Personal injuries can be emotionally and financially devastating. Daniel Satare is an attorney who specializes in personal injury law with extensive experience in auto, bicycle, and motorcycle accidents, wrongful death, and more.
My partner suffered spinal injuries in a car accident. And we don't have health insurance. Can we get the other insurance company to pay for upcoming treatments and lost wages?
Daniel Satare and his team will guide you through the challenging issues of a personal injury case, always protecting your legal rights. Get answers to your legal questions on a variety of issues. Real answers from law offices like Satare Law. Find out if you need a lawyer and make an informed decision. Go to KSRO.com now and click on the Sonoma County Legal Line.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the Chaos Arto Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. And today, we haven't had a chance to really say this much over 38 years, but here's a hometown gal that's written a really great cookbook. Yeah. Her name is Lacey Osterman. She's a graduate of Windsor High School and baked and worked in her parents' restaurants, some of which you probably dined at. We, John and I did, up at Center Deli up in Healdsburg. Probably 25, 30 years ago.
Yep.
The great spot, plus other locations. And she's written a book called Three Doughs, 60 Recipes, Easy to Master Doughs and Delicious Ways to Enjoy Them. Currently living and baking in East Sussex outside of London with her husband and her family. But you're here on your U.S. book tour because
That's
the
right.
book just launched about a month ago.
That's right. Yeah, so this is my last stop.
And is that? Oh, great.
You saved, well, so did you save the best to last?
I saved the best for last, you guys.
Do you know what's so interesting are the three doughs that you chose for this? And why did you choose those three, which are focaccia, sandwich bread, and
pizza? Did you
pizza dough?
And pizza dough. Well, pizza.
I chose them because of just how popular they are and how much people love them, but also how versatile the doughs can be. So with focaccia dough, it's a really highly hydrated dough, which means there's a lot of water in it, and you can kind of it lends itself really well to being turned into focaccia, but also used for Roman-style pizzas. Like, I forget what her name was, but from Psychic Pizza earlier, who was chatting with you guys. There's Roman-style pizza recipes in the book, so you can turn the focaccia dough into that because of the high hydration in the dough. It works really well for that. But you can also turn it into a loaf of artisan-style bread, too. And then because each of the doughs have different amounts of water in them, the dough that holds its shape the best is the sandwich bread dough. There's less water in that dough, so you can turn that into giant soft pretzels. You know, like the ones at the mall, the Wetzel's pretzels, they're buttery and salty and soft and hot out of the oven.
It wasn't donuts from that recipe, too?
So the donuts are from the pizza dough. That's kind of based off of these Italian style. I don't know if you know Zeppoli or the pizza frita. They oftentimes fry the leftover pizza dough, dust it in powdered sugar, and then serve it with Nutella or jam.
Yeah.
They're the best when they're just fresh out of the oil, and it's just such a nice little snack.
We were hoping you were going to bring us some of
those. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
But you brought us a beautiful loaf of focaccia.
Yes, I did.
So I love focaccia. Was early in the book. We talk about that. And I thought, you know, when I've made focaccia, which I'm not a great bread baker or dough baker. You make the comment that dimpling is one of the great activities that you do. Describe dimpling and its purpose.
So dimpling is when the dough has had its second proof. Or it's risen for the second time in the tray. It should be nice and full of air and jiggly. And you put a lot of olive oil over the top, and then you sink your fingers into this beautiful, pillowy, bubbly dough, and all of these bubbles emerge from the dough, and it's just, I don't know, it's the feeling of it. You feel like a kid again. You're playing, it's really tactile, and you're feeling, I don't know, it's just really, it's everyone's favorite part of the focaccia process, I think, and people love watching it on videos because of all these bubbles that arise.
Yeah.
And you do that just so that the olive oil is dispersed, first of all, and so that it doesn't bake up in a dome, because it just helps to flatten, distribute all of the olive oil, distribute the bubbles evenly, and otherwise it could bake up with like a large dome in the middle. I'm sure it would still taste really good, but it also, once you create those dimples with your fingers, it gives you a natural place to kind of push toppings into, for all the olive oil to sink into.
We'll take a quick break. One of those focaccia recipes, it seems to me, was inspired by your 9-year-old son, this hot chocolate focaccia.
Doesn't
it sound like a 9-year-old would say, Mom, why don't you do that?
Yeah, put some chocolate in it. I love, when I wrote this book, I wasn't doing so many crazy focaccia flavors. At the moment, I have this series on my Instagram page called Will It Focaccia, where people suggest different items of food and say, well, will that focaccia? And they want me to try to make it on screen.
That's very clever.
And so a lot of sweet focaccias have come out of that. So in the book, there's the hot chocolate focaccia and there's a loaded baked potato focaccia.
I love the flavors.
But it's gotten really extreme on my page. So, I mean, the most popular one has been the jam donut focaccia.
Oh, man.
Where you bake the focaccia, you poke holes into it, pipe jam into it, and then glaze the entire thing. And that has actually taken the world by storm. It's pretty crazy how viral that video has gone, and the cinnamon bun focaccia as well.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll chat a bit about the bread chapter.
Okay.
And then the pizza chapter. We want to make sure we have a little
more time.
Oh, yeah,
we're going to hit them all.
And one lucky listener out there in Radioland will win an autographed copy of this book by Lacey Osterman right before we say goodbye, shortly before noon.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Voted best in the North Bay by the Bohemian, Paradise Pet Resort is the top choice for your furry friend.
We really need a getaway. When was the last time we took a vacation? Just the two of us.
Right before we got Buckley.
I know, it's so tough to leave him behind. Who's gonna spoil him like we do?
No worries, you can take that vacation. At Paradise Pet Resorts, your pet gets the royal treatment while you're away. With webcams, you can check in and watch your furry friend's wagging tail and playful antics all day long. Your pet gets playtime, socializing, belly rubs, ear scratches, and more. Plus, daycare helps burn off that extra energy, so they'll be just as relaxed as you.
This is exactly what we needed. Let's check in on Buckley.
Those webcams are a lifesaver.
Book your pet stay today. Boarding, daycare, and grooming at Paradise Pet Resorts in Roner Park and Santa Rosa. Visit ParadisePetResorts.com.
Paradise Pet Resorts. You need financing designed specifically for agriculture. For more than 100 years, American Ag Credit has proudly served farmers and ranchers like Fred Klein of Klein Family Sellers.
American Ag Credit is very special. They understand farming. They can recognize hard work. They know seasons, and it's just night and day with any other lender.
American Ag Credit. Your future grows here. Visit agloan.com for more.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Maum Fireplace Center, proud sponsor of the Golden State Warriors for over 10 years. Maum Fireplace Center in Santa Rosa offers indoor and outdoor fireplaces from Town and Country. Luxury fireplaces for the discerning homeowner. Find your flame at Maum Fireplace Center, 368 Yolanda Avenue. On the web at maumfireplacecenter.com. Maum Fireplace Center, we satisfy your burning desires.
A guaranteed career as an officer with the California Highway Patrol is waiting for you. You can make a difference and enjoy a starting salary of $122,500 plus comprehensive benefits. Apply today at chpmadeformore.com and become part of the strongest team in California.
News anywhere. Stream KSRO from your smartphone or smart speaker. KSRO, Sonoma County's News Talk, FM, AM, and online.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following the cooler and partly cloudy overnight, we can look to sunny skies and daytime highs in the mid to low 70s. Later this evening, generally clear skies should leave us with overnight lows in the high 40s and low 50s. Temps are expected to reach the high 70s and low 80s tomorrow before dropping back into the mid to high 60s on Tuesday. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
Lacey Osterman in the KSRO Kitchen Live this Saturday morning. It's the last stop on her book tour, Three Doughs, 60 Recipes, just launched a month ago. She lives outside of London in East Sussex, but born and raised here in Santa Rosa. You brought up something really interesting in the beginning of each of the chapters. Could you describe that?
Yeah, so for each chapter, so there's 3 chapters in the book. Each is based around one of the core doughs from the book. There is some chapter opener art, and the designers of the book were so clever. We knew we wanted to incorporate some of the bubbles from the bread, so they actually cut open a slab of focaccia. They cut it horizontally and put it on a scanner, and she said to me, the scanner was so oily afterwards, and I thought, that your story checks out. So then they took that scan and turned it into this beautiful texture
art. I am so glad
you
told me that, because I didn't notice it.
I think it's really subtle, and you can kind of see in the main introduction, you can see that they turned these different dough textures, so each of the breads has their own texture art. You can see that they've turned it into a slab of focaccia, a pizza. So the pizza texture is that muddly, charcoaly, you know, the coloring on the bottom of a pizza crust. That's what they made.
John mentioned during the break, I wish people would stop buying those horrible croutons.
Yes. Right? Well... It came up, and they are the commercially made croutons. And you devote a good piece in the book about making your own croutons and how to incorporate them and all that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course. So, I mean, if you have a little bit of leftover bread that's gone beyond the point of wanting to use it for a sandwich or whatever you want to use your bread for, if it's slightly drying out, or even if it's totally fresh, you can make croutons out of it so easily. I mean, I have a recipe in the sandwich bread chapter of the book, and you just basically cube the bread, you toss it in a bit of extra virgin olive oil, or you could use butter if you prefer that flavor, salt, pepper, that's it. That's it. It's you just toss the croutons, the cubed bread into that, bake it on the tray, and it takes you like less than 15 minutes to make your own croutons. Yeah. And I think you can add garlic powder or whatever seasonings, but they taste so much better than the ones that you would get in a plastic pack.
With the dried herbs in them and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It just makes such a difference to have some homemade croutons in your salad, and then if you want, you can blitz those down into breadcrumbs and use them in, I don't know, meatballs or for breading chicken. Or it's really versatile. I really wanted to show how versatile these.
So how long could you keep those around?
So how long? I think I say for up to 2 weeks. So as long as it's in a really sealed container, you can keep the croutons and breadcrumbs for a while. It's probably longer than that, but I just am on the conservative side because there is fat in it, so it can spoil over time. But yeah, 2 weeks I've used them, and they're absolutely delicious and fine. Because they, as long as you've cooked all the moisture out of them, you want to make sure you've cooked them until they're completely crispy and there's no water inside.
People would love to make their own pizza, but they're intimidated. They want to spend $100 on a pizza steel, a pizza stone, all this. Right. You have a recipe for a frying pan pizza.
Yes.
Talk about that. You mean cast iron pan.
Yeah, it's cast iron, or you can also use nonstick as long as it's about 12 inches. So a nice big frying pan. I show you how to stretch the pizza dough. And this is one of those recipes that has the QR code for the video.
The pull and stretch.
Yes. Yeah. So I kind of show you a steering wheel method for stretching pizza dough, which I think is pretty foolproof. Mm-hmm. And then for a frying pan pizza, it basically entails you heating a little bit of olive oil in this large frying pan. You stretch the pizza dough out, and then you gently lay it into this preheated pan with the olive oil in it. While the base is crisping up, you add the toppings onto the dough. And meanwhile, you have your broiler heating up, and you have the rack set to the top third of the oven. Mm-hmm. And for pizza, for good pizza, it's really reliant on high temperatures. You know, these pizza ovens get up to like 900 degrees, and that's really impossible to achieve in a home oven. But what you're doing with the frying pan is you're getting extreme heat on the bottom, and then you're going to finish it with extreme heat on the top. So you're cooking the bottom first, putting the toppings on, then transferring it into the oven under the broiler, and it just finishes off the pizza in there. And it really puffs up, and it's just, people love this method of making pizza, and it does replicate a pizza oven or a pizza steel, pizza stone, but you don't have to invest in those things.
Wonderful. I love it. But make sure you get that cast iron pan ripping hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice and hot.
But it's great. You don't have to buy one of those. What are they? Umis?
Well, I love uni, and I'm actually their new ambassador. So I do think if you're going to be making pizza, this actually hasn't been announced properly yet.
Oh, wow.
But I'm one of their new ambassadors, and I in the UK at least, and it's being announced. I'm creating the announcement
people
video.
People that didn't catch this, what's the name of the pizza oven?
So uni. Uni pizza ovens, they're very popular, and if you do make pizza a lot and like having that al fresco lifestyle, you can make pizza in 90 seconds.
Yeah.
They also do an electric one inside, so you can make it in all weathers. So, I do love an uni pizza
oven. But they're small and easy to clean and all of that stuff.
You can get them in all sizes. There's the really big ones. You can do 28-inch pizza now.
But you can do 12-inch, 14 inches.
Yeah, they're all different sizes. So
they send
love
you a bunch
a
of them?
Pizza oven. Yeah, I get all the free merch, and they've just launched a stand mixer as well. So I haven't broken that out yet, but I'm looking forward to trying it.
Well, congratulations on that product.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Representative.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun aspect of the job. Yeah.
Would you give us your favorite number today between 1 and 10, Lacey?
Oh, let's go for 7.
Caller number 7 at 1-707-636-1350 will win an autographed copy of Lacey Osterman's new book, 3 Doughs, 60 Recipes. Local Santa Rosa gal makes good. Caller number 7, 1-707-636-1350. Congratulations.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks for coming down the hill to visit us at KSRO this morning.
This has been so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, since you're a local, we'll have to have you back on the show.
Yeah, for the next one.
And a safe journey back to East Sussex.
Thank you very much.
And
thank
best
you.
To your family. Thanks.
Thank you
John
very
Ash,
much.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And we will talk again next week. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Back after this.
Why Wine Country meets the Sonoma Coast in breathtaking Bodega Bay. Escape to the Inn at the Tides with their midweek special. Every room offers spectacular bay views. Plus, you'll be welcomed with a bottle of wine and enjoy a complimentary continental breakfast each morning at the legendary Tides Wharf restaurant. Honey granola with milk, fresh fruit, croissant, muffin, assorted jams, coffee or tea, and juice to start your day. For a special evening, the Bayview Restaurant and Lounge is back. Open Thursday through Sunday, 6 to 9 p.m. by reservation only. Enjoy Susan Sutton on the Baby Grand every Saturday while indulging in a gourmet menu by chef de cuisine Rennie Madrid. From Coco Van to pan-seared fresh salmon and filet